This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today. As I like to say, I hope that wherever you are, things are great. Whether you're in the valley, whether you're in the mountains, whether you're laying low, whatever it is that you're doing. A lot of people, once again, are going back to laying low because we're seeing what's going on with the Delta variant, or it's just the tail end of a very, very long and trying, in some cases, summer. And some are gearing up for the school year. And speaking of gearing up for the school year, sadly, that's become cantankerous with school boards again because of what's happening with kids either being virtual, being hybrid learning, or going full on back into a classroom. I think not being in the classroom has hurt so many children. You can see it because they get weary, had gotten weary for that long time period of doing, Zooms and being taught that way. It was the thing that had to be done. I mean, what could you do if your hands were tied? But now in Florida, there's kind of a war over this. There certainly is, because there is the mask mandate that, not to mandate masks, that is part of what the governor is saying. In DeSantis in Florida, is that he doesn't want schools and parents to feel like they have to do that. So, unfortunately, the other side of that is there are parents that want to do it. So it's become this, in some case, mild protests, kind of words back and forth, because there's kids that don't want to wear masks, and their families don't want them to wear masks, and others that do. And the big threat is that he is threatening to pull funds from the schools that are trying to have the kids wear masks, trying to force that against what he is saying is the law of the land right now in Florida. So here you go. You know, you watch also what's happening federally, and you've got the president considering withholding funds to spur vaccination. So on the other side of that, you've got the education secretary warning of school closures because of what's happened with the Delta variant, and saying if this is what we have to do, this is what we have to do. So the secretary of education is Miguel Cardona, and he said at the White House on Thursday that while the Delta variant of the coronavirus is providing new challenges, he still anticipates a return to in-class instruction. And this is weeks before some schools reopen, saying that we expect our students to be in the classroom every day. But to do that, you have to have the teachers' unions in line while persuading a governor like Ron DeSantis of Florida and, hey, by the way, Greg Abbott of Texas to allow school districts to impose mask mandates, right? So actually have the mask mandates, not you can do what you want. And, of course, both governors are resisting that measure, even if they're getting hit with the Delta variant. And Cardona went on and on and on and on and on, saying politics don't have to have a role in this. They don't have to have a role in this. That's exactly what's happened this entire time. I mean, that's the thing. That's the problem. It is all about the politics of it. And for one person who believes you're trampling on rights, another thinks this has to happen. I mean, do you want the school districts to make their own mask rules? But they would need legislation in places like Florida and Texas to amend the ban. So there are some serious challenges that are happening right now related to kids and schools and going back to school. I remember when the biggest challenge was what were you going to get for back to school? Yeah, it was about how many notebooks did you need, what books did you need, what pencils, pens, equipment, etc. I mean, now it's a whole different ball game, but we get that. I mean, this is the world we live in. And it's too bad when you have to pit parents against parents, and you have this wobbly, wonky thinking out there where it's just not uniform. I mean, the bottom line is it's not. And this is a different world when it comes to the politics of the virus period in general, and we all know that, right? And it kind of brings up here at the top this interesting poll that I'm going to talk about more next week, too, is a poll that was done showing that, not surprisingly, I think, based on my own friends and people that I even I'm acquainted with, and even people we've had on the show, a lot of them authors who have had lost family members. But this new poll, and it's actually a couple of different things in these polls, show that a pretty significant number of Americans have ended friendships over disagreements about COVID-19. And even a greater number have lost somebody close to them, a family member, a friend, who died from the disease. In one survey released Thursday, YouGov asked respondents, have you lost any friendships because of the differences in opinion related to COVID-19? Now, what do you think for everybody listening here? And I don't care where you hail from, like I said, those valleys, those peaks, those small towns, wherever, some of the great rural areas. I guarantee you all have an opinion on this. 20% responded yes. Yes, they have lost friendships. 68% said no. Another 11% said they don't know. And I think that's because some people aren't going there. They're not, they want to have the discussion, but they know it could be that they're on opposite sides of thinking about this virus, so they're not even diving into it. And of course, COVID misinformation is endemic. And because of that, it's disproportionately affecting certain areas of the country, certain families, all of that. And then the other big question on the Economist YouGov poll, for what polls are worth, is do you personally know anyone who has died due to complications from COVID-19? And for me, yes. Do you know a family member that has died from it? Luckily, I can't say yes to that one. But I certainly know people that were lost in all of this. And the friendships that are slipping away, the family ties that are just frayed, all because of a virus that hit us, you know, almost 2 years ago. Wow. If you did get the vaccine, the other part of the discussion, excuse me, was did you get Moderna, did you, this is karma, did you get Moderna, did you get Pfizer? And people argued about which was better. Of course, if you were getting them, you wanted to get the best because you didn't want to do it in the first place, and what was the best one? Moderna somehow ended up being the sweetheart for a lot of people. The Moderna earnings were pretty good, better than expected. The vaccine is more than 90% effective after 6 months, but it wasn't quite enough to push the company's stock totally over the top, but it has more than doubled during the past 3 months. Stay with us.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. $2. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. Holly Hale joins us now from the UK, and we've talked to her in the past, and I thought it was well worth it to dive into an intriguing story. And the book is The Day Holly Took on the Government. So, Holly, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Tell us what made you write this book.
Because I felt that social services did me wrong, and I wanted to tell the world, wanted the world to know.
And did you think that maybe so many other people probably get lost in the same predicament?
Yes. Yeah.
And was it tough for you to decide to like you say in the title, take on the government?
Yeah, because it felt like as if I was taking on the government, fighting for my grandson, for my daughter.
And so tell us the background of the story for people who don't know your story. What were you specifically trying to have happen that didn't happen?
Well, my daughter was fighting for her son. And I thought that if she couldn't fight for him, I'd fight for him. So then I could give him to her.
Right, because her son was taken away.
Yes.
Yeah. And
she was young.
Yeah.
She was very young.
Yeah, she was young, and she had your grandson, and so then that was all discombobulated, right? And there wasn't the sort of the human element wasn't part of this.
What do you mean?
Meaning that they didn't pay attention to the story and the family as much, it sounds like.
No, they just come in and shouted abuse at the top of the voices.
Yeah. So once you decided to do that, what was your first step? What did you do?
What do you mean?
When you decided you were going to fight for your daughter.
Well, I went for a residency order.
And what happened then?
Well, the guardian ad litem, they're never on the grandparent's side. They're always on the side of the social services.
Yeah. And in the book, if somebody reads the book, tell us a little bit more about what you talked about, what happened, some of the stories.
Like what?
Like what, so what happened as you were trying to fight and there was, and you reached out and reached out and reached out, you just kept getting a lot of, you just kept getting nowhere.
No, I was getting nowhere. No, and I was fighting really hard for my grandson, and social services were just shouting abuse. And I had two different social workers to, investigate my voice. And they didn't see what social workers were saying. And they told me that. They told me that they weren't seeing. They saw a good mum looking after her two boys.
Yeah.
And I said to the social worker, well, can't you say that to the courts? And they said, no, we can't step on your toes.
Wow. So they told you that. And then right to your face, they tell you that. And then they tell you, well, we can't get involved in that. Wow.
No. Yeah.
Oh, so disappointing. So what do you hope people take away from reading The Day Holly Took on the Government?
It's a sad story.
It's a sad story.
Yeah.
But take us to the other side. Where are we now with your grandson?
Well, I speak to him many times on Messenger, and he's got a good relationship with his mother. He sees his mother often.
That's the good part. The good part is that you're seeing that now. But what happened to him in between? Where was he shuttled around?
Well, the lady who adopted him, her children went to the same school as my daughter. So it shouldn't have been allowed. He shouldn't have not even gone there because there was a conflict of interest.
Right. So there was a problem with that. And luckily, now he's come out on the other side. And as you say, now he has a good relationship with his mother.
Yeah. He has a good relationship with his mother.
Yeah. What did your family say about the book, The Day Holly Took on the Government?
Well, they said it wasn't my story to tell.
Right. But you felt like you needed to get it out there.
Yeah. I thought I needed to tell someone. I needed to tell someone.
Well, and I guess the other part of this is, I think for people listening, there's another side of what often happens with families.
My daughter's falling out with me because of the book. Yeah. She doesn't want anything to do with me.
Wow.
Which is sad. It's really sad.
Right. Do you think eventually that gets repaired?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. And in the end, it was really, you were looking out for your grandson and your daughter.
Yeah.
And for you, does that make you, like you said, you needed to tell the story. Does that make you feel better? Are you feeling, you feel better that you got that out there in the world?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I told my story.
Yeah. And I do think there is a warning in this for people that, you know, this might not be their story, but they may know other stories and there's another side of the story. And I think that's what's so key.
Yeah.
Right. And what they told you to say, hey, there's nothing here, but we can't step on their toes is shocking. And that would be an awful thing to hear and then have nothing you can do.
No, there's nothing I could do. They were saying I was a perfect mother, caring, loving mother. And they couldn't step on their toes. Well, it's not their case, they said. It's not their case.
Wow. So I think the moral of the story is there's always another side of the story, and boy, to have that happen. But to have that released, have that cathartic release that you got it out there. And the book is on Amazon, The Day Holly Took on the Government. Holly Hale, thanks for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
And child protection and how the child welfare system works. And Holly shares her story as talking about the people coming in and investigating and say, well, we don't want to step on anyone's toes. And then ultimately what happened to a grandson that eventually she wins back, as you could hear her story. And it's sad what we're seeing, how the welfare system, which is so necessary, is so overburdened. And what happens to those rare cases? And I don't know, maybe they're not that rare if you took all the cases across the U.S. and you looked at other countries. I think that so often it's necessary, and then you have to take the child. But what happens when there is a gray area? What happens when it's investigated and you find that, yeah, not really, this isn't what should happen here, but the child gets removed, and then what happens to that child? You know, reporting child abuse or neglect is huge and important. And I know people that have told me some terribly, terribly sad, sad stories of some of the things that they've seen, and they were too late, or they got there and it's a wonderful ending. It's just part of the world where, for so many of us who are lucky enough to be raised in an environment where that's not an issue, where nothing like that happened. But what happens when there's emotional abuse and physical abuse and, God forbid, sexual abuse? And what are the reasons that social services in the U.S., what do they do? Why do they take a child into temporary or permanent care? And then what happens when you try to fight and get that child back? And what happens when the child shouldn't be back? And what happens when the child should be back? And like I said, I know in the U.S., it is really, really sad. They need people to stick up for so many of the kids, to advocate for them, just court appearances, et cetera. And there's just not enough people. They are just completely, completely overwhelmed with the amount of kids. Of, you know, you've got a social worker, then you've got somebody investigating, usually within 24 hours or so when they get a report. And again, this is the U.S. And then what happens when they're placed in the foster care system? And then what happens as they keep moving along in the foster care system? I think it's one of the best things I ever got assigned to do was a thing called Wednesday's Child. And that's really, you had kids that needed families. And we would highlight the kids and do their stories. And then so often you would see these great endings of where a child was placed in a great home. And to me, that was my favorite kind of story to do. And I only got to do a handful of them, but it was really a rewarding thing to see from finish to end the story and how they turned out. And Holly's story is sad, and that's, like she said at the top, why she told it, because there is the other side of that story too, as well. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD Family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered a new special legislative session to pass a Republican-backed voting law, although dozens of House Democrats are still out of the state and remain in Washington. The announcement comes after more than 50 Democrats left Texas on July 12th to avoid voting on an election reform bill. The special session will start on Saturday, August 7th. The chairman of the New York State Committee conducting an impeachment inquiry into sexual harassment allegations against Governor Andrew Cuomo said Thursday the panel's probe is almost finished. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says Cuomo needs to go.
I absolutely believe he must resign for the good of New York State and our people. If he doesn't, the clamor, which is universal at this point, Democrats and Republicans saying he's got to go, is going to win the day.
This is USA Radio News. Facebook coordinated closely with the CDC in controlling the narrative of the pandemic, including suppression of alleged misinformation, and gave health agency free advertising, estimated at $3 million, according to Judicial Watch, which obtained emails that were released on July 28th. A group of real estate entities issued a legal challenge in a Washington district court on August 4th to the CDC's new eviction moratorium. They argued in their emergency motion that the latest eviction order issued by the CDC exceeds the agency's powers. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki offered what she called the real solution.
The other piece of this that I know we keep talking about, but is really a solution here, and that's why we keep talking about it, is getting this money out to states and localities. This is really about money, right, and funding, and all these states and localities have money to extend the moratorium in their states by a month or 2 months.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Books we're going to talk about, and it's so interesting knowing I was going to talk to him and talking to him off the air. We were talking about the power of hypnosis, and one of his books is called Understanding the Power of the Subconscious Mind Hypnosis and Other Effective Healing Option, Alternative Healing Options. Boy, could we use this right now. Franchot, first of all, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me this morning, Kate.
So I know you've had the opportunity to be in a lot of different places. You're joining us from Las Vegas, but you're originally from Trinidad. Did you get some of the inspiration for what you do from those early beginnings in Trinidad?
Absolutely. You know, I came here in May of 1969 at the age of 14, but prior to coming to Trinidad, I worked with two of my grandparents, my paternal and my parent, my father's mother and mother's mother, they were spiritual workers, and they had me working with them, and I think that set the foundation for a lot of what, when I came to the United States, when I really got into a higher level of emotional work, I realized it bordered it on clinical hypnotherapy, so the transition was very easy, you know?
Yeah. Tell us about hypnosis. I think it's one of those things that people are so curious about and some people are afraid of. Tell us about the power of hypnosis. I mean, you talk about that in the book.
Yeah. Well, basically, there's a lot, and one of the chapters in the book is called Debunking the Myths and Stereotypes About Hypnosis, and it has been placed there mainly by television Iran and the film industry. However, hypnosis works by basically you and I are speaking, Kate and Franchette are speaking using the conscious reasoning process, or what we call the conscious mind. But there's a more powerful mind, which we call the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind has the two major jobs to do: to prove you and I correct in any of our assumptions, and to protect us. So anything that we believe the subconscious mind make real. So any fear or any other lifestyle changes that you want to make, you have to go down to the level of speaking to the subconscious mind. Well, the subconscious mind is more or less like the program of the computer. And you can erase a program and rewrite a program. And this is what hypnosis is, actually the bypassing of what we call the critical factor, which is that part, another part of the conscious awareness that blocks any positive suggestion for change from coming into the domain of the subconscious mind once those new suggestion doesn't conform to the previous suggestions. So we have to bypass that security guard. And once we do, we speak to the subconscious mind and give the subconscious mind instructions on how it would, how it should function or perform with regards to a specific issue in the future. And basically, change is imminent, and you can do the same thing to your husband. Your husband could do the same thing to you, because we are all hypnotists in our own way.
Wow. So you've seen it really work, though. And when it does, that has to, I mean, pardon the pun, but it has to blow people's minds. When you work with people and that happens and they have these incredible changes, what do they say?
Well, this is what, when somebody comes to me and we identify the main problem, let's say, for example, smoking cessation, you know, and somebody comes to me with smoking cessation, and I go down into the recesses of the subconscious mind, and I realize that they started smoking at the age of 13 just to be involved in a clique or a gang, and that was the criteria for belonging. So basically that goes to the roots of self-confidence and low self-esteem. So when I go and treat low self-esteem and self-confidence, it automatically removes the need for smoking, you know. And then there are other mitigating factors, such as the subconscious mind being programmed either by sucking the thumb when they were young, or just spending a whole lot of time on a pacifier. Those are the prerequisites that the subconscious mind uses to equate with pacification. So as you get older and you want to pacify yourself, you find yourself sticking something in your mouth, and the subconscious mind, the memory of the subconscious mind, would produce the same thing, a level of pacification, and that is what cigarettes do. So we have to take away those memories from the central nervous system, the hand-to-mouth movement and all these things, or something in the mouth to pacify the occasion. And then smoking, the release of smoking becomes imminent, you know?
Yeah, wow.
It's
fascinating, absolutely. I want to make sure, because we don't have a lot of time, that we get to everything else, too, because I think it's fascinating what a well-rounded person you are. And also, poetry played a big part of your life. You started writing poems when you were a kid back in Trinidad, and now you have a book, Reinventing Poetry, the final edition. What do you mean about reinventing poetry?
Well, the way I'm not too sure if I'm a poet, actually, because some of the way poetry is being defined, I'm not too sure. So in my own way, reinventing poetry is a contribution to presenting ideas and words that could affect change in people's lives in a new way, you know?
Yeah.
And my poetry, the way I write it, all songs begin as poems. And all my poems are songs. It's easy to translate one poem into a song, you know. And if we had 1 minute, I wanted to leave one poem called Never Give Up with my listeners.
Let's hear it. Never Give Up.
Never Give Up. When all has been tried and all access denied, where humiliation and shame had once abided, you see yourself at rope's end and stare at the drop. Listen to the echo of the voice within saying, never give up. Never give up. When it seems that all friends are lost, never turn to, and everywhere you turn, there is no support. Allow the voice within to resonate. Never give up. Never give up. When even your children cast your emotion aside, you absorb that special pain, juggles your pride, I dare you to resort to a stance as defiant as a rock. Heed the voice within and never give up. Never, ever.
Oh, I love like it. I like it. I'm getting chills. Hashtag never give up. That's great.
Thank you.
So we go from that to let's close it out with a collection of metaphysical experience. Tell us about that book.
Very briefly, beautiful document. These are stories that we all have, but are afraid to speak out. Speak about the fear of being ridiculed and other issues. For example, there was a document featured years ago on Unsolved Mysteries where a young lady got killed in 1947 crossing a highway in Cowtown, New Jersey. Well, about 40 years ago, I was coming down the highway, pitch dark in the middle of the night. I saw a white lady in a blue globe. As Tom and I ride, my cousin and I moving, stop, pick her up, turned out to be a lady whose face looked to be about 300 years. Then I realized she was from the other side, so I started to speak to her in metaphysical terms about being going through the light and these things. And she kept telling me that when I asked her where she would like me to drop her, she just said, right up the road. And eventually when I dropped her at exit 7 coming into the turnpike, she walked around the car and disappeared. You know, and a couple months later, I saw the same thing being featured on Southern Mysteries. That happened to hundreds of drivers over the years. And many other stories. I have a story called The Day I Died, you know, and some other beautiful life-stimulating stories, you know, life imitating art, the death of a boxer, the suicide of a boxing referee. I was the referee involved in a bout that I was in Caesar's Palace several years ago in which the boxer Jimmy Garcia died. I subsequently resigned from the commission and left. The referee killed himself. But the important thing is 3 months before that, I played a part in a movie where I played a referee. And the doctor was a doctor from the Nevada State Athletic Commission who played the part of a doctor. And the same thing we were doing in the movie, he was trying to revive the fallen boxer. And I was holding, stabilizing the boxer's head. It happened in Caesar's Palace, being looked at by 250 million people. And the same identical thing happened with Jimmy Garcia in the bout. It could be seen on YouTube, Jimmy Garcia versus Gabriel Ruelas.
Yeah.
You know?
I know that fight, yeah.
Right, and that boat, and there are many stories, and the last one of the most beautiful ones is that the strange case of rum and Coca-Cola. The one record that, the first record to make, sold 500,000 copies, and the first group to make $1 million on a record was the Andrew Sisters of, you know, the famous song Rum and Coca-Cola. Rum and Coca-Cola was a calypso stolen from Trinidad by a calypsonian by the name of Lord Belasco. Was brought to America by the comedian Murray Amsterdam and converted into rum and Coca-Cola. There was a humongous lawsuit in 1947. It resulted in the calypsonian Lord and Vader winning the lawsuit, and it set the precedent for how for detecting plagiarism in music and the future standard for musical conduct in the United States. You know, but that single record, Rum and Coca-Cola, is what revolutionized the American musical industry. But the whole story with the whole completed history of the case, you know, is involved in that story. And it's a beautiful movie, as well as several other stories in that book.
Yeah, wow. Rum and Coca-Cola. I got to go listen to that now. I remember my grandfather playing that. I can remember that song.
Yeah.
Ooh, it was a big song. That was a big song by the Andrew Sisters.
That was the biggest song in the United States, you know. And the lawyer, Louis Mizer, I introduced this man to a lot of lawyers, young lawyers. He was the Perry Mason of court law in the United States. And he took that case, and he's the one, he hired Maurice Barron, a musical expert, and they are the ones who detected the 18 bars that was stolen from the original. Actually, the original song was sung in Patois, and the name was Leanne Passé, and they translated it into rum and Coca-Cola, you know?
Wow, incredible. Yeah. Franchot Moore, we could talk all day. Thank you so much for joining us. You can get all his books on Amazon. Thank you.
And thank you, my dear sister. Much love to you and your family.
Yes, thank you. You too. Thanks.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells, everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Excited to introduce you to Kennedy Odimba. He has written a book that this title is perfect for how we're living now, Living Beyond Limitations Every Day. And wow, we had a great off-air conversation. He's such a, if you could see him, this is radio, he's just got a beautiful smile and he has just a great energy around him. So I'm not surprised he's written this book. Kennedy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to be here with you to talk about this. It's always a pleasure to talk about my new book. I mean,
of course, because it's so empowering and impactful. Let's talk about your journey from Nigeria. Tell us about that, how you grew up, what happened, and then how you ended up in the States.
Yes, growing up from Nigeria was really, an eventful experience, setbacks and struggles, being able to go to school and accomplish my dreams of getting my degree in law. I had this dream of becoming a lawyer growing up, but I couldn't achieve that because of my poor background. I was trying to get into college was really difficult. The finances was not easy. I tried the first year, I wrote the entrance exam, I passed, but I didn't have the money to pay my tuition. So I lost the admission. Everything was deferred to the next year. I had to retake the exams again. My dad was deported from Germany. He had an issue with immigration government in Germany, and he was the main person that was helping me and my siblings. I have four other brothers and one sister. So at that point, it was one of the lowest moments in our life. We couldn't see beyond that phase. We thought that was just going to be it for us. We couldn't, you know, even find food to eat. To eat one square meal in a day was a big struggle. So, but I didn't, in midst of all that, I didn't give up. But one of the biggest lessons I was able to pick is that, you know, you have to always, you know, enlarge your vision beyond your, you know, beyond your fears, because those were like fearful times, you know, as if we were not going to be able to pass it. So, but my vision and my goals was big in my head. I wanted to go back to school. I wanted to travel around the world. I wanted to be that person who will be that change. Because looking at the bloodline, nobody have ever gone past that phase in my family. It was like a limit that was set. So when I was talking about some of my dreams, people would tell me, no, you can't do that. You don't see people who are before you, they couldn't do it. You can't go past that phase. Nobody's going to help you to achieve that. Now, you know. So the first year passed, the second year passed. I tried again. This time, I was able to get an admission to study philosophy, you know. So I kind of abandoned all the plans for getting a law degree. I abandoned all the plans. No, I don't have the finances. So I took that opportunity. Luckily for me, my uncle, who was living in a different city, heard about the news. You know, Kennedy, I had you got accepted to study philosophy. I would like to help you accomplish that, you know.
And so your uncle, obviously, he was influential, and it's great in telling your story how you, as you said, you pushed through that fear and you found another way, right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, sometimes when you, one of the online lessons I picked up also, because my book is all part of lessons. It's all a vision of lessons, every event, everything that happened in my life. I came up with this quote that says, we are not changed by what we go through. We are actually changed by the lessons we pick along the way as we advance in life. So for me, another lesson is that when you have a dream, don't always be engulfed with the question, how will it happen? Who will make it happen? How will I do it? What if this? What if it doesn't work out? What if people don't support me? You know, first of all, take the first step in faith, and then the rest of the steps will begin to sprang up. The universe and things that you don't understand will begin to make that dream become a reality. Help from places you never thought of. You know, my uncle, I've never kept in touch with him for years. You know, I don't know how he got the news that I got accepted, and he was like, oh, Kennedy, I got this news that you accepted in school. You have achieved something in the family that nobody have achieved. I would like to support you. Even if it means for us to sell land, sell properties, I will be able to raise your tuition and we will help you go to school. I mean, that was like a big, you know, jump in my heart. Like, God, so my dreams is finally becoming a reality. He asked me to take the available transportation to Lagos, where he was staying. I had to, the next day I entered a night bus to Lagos, and look at the welcome they gave me, like, we are so proud of you. We are so, you know, you achieved it. You didn't give up. We are going to make sure that you go to school. And we're going to make sure that we pay everything that you need. And that was how that dream became a reality. I went to school, and I was able to get my bachelor's degree in philosophy. And in my second year was when I got the inspiration to start working on my book. Because at this point, I've been able to figure out some lessons that I've seen that, if you really want something and you want it badly, the difference between whether you get it or not is how determined are you. So there is really no limits nothing that is impossible. It's all based on how badly do you want it, how determined are you. That is the difference between what you want and what you end up not getting. So I started working on my book, and It's been over 10 years now. When I moved to the United States, I've written about 7 chapters. So it's a 12 chapters book. So the remaining 4 chapters was written during the pandemic here, because I was home doing nothing. I'm like, oh, it's time to go back and start writing my book again. You know, So another lesson from that pandemic was always look at the good and the bad. There's always, no matter how bad things are in life, there's always something good in it. So I was laid off from my job. I was home doing nothing. I was like, all this time, I have all this time in the world. What should I do with this time? And I had to go back and pick up my manuscript and start writing my book again. And in April 28th, it was published.
So the book, again, Living Beyond Limitations Every Day. We're speaking with Kennedy and Adimba, and he has this book that he's telling us about his journey and what that's now entailed. And so here you are in the pandemic, as you're telling us, and you were able to finish the manuscript. So instead of feeling sorry for yourself, boom, you did it. And now, as you mentioned, in April, the book is released. What was that feeling like when the book came out?
I mean, it was like a pregnant woman who has been pregnant. I finally gave birth. The joy was amazing. I was like, oh, so finally this intangible concept that I had 10 years ago is now something I can now hold in my hands. I mean, it goes to prove that if you have a picture in your mind, if you have a dream, it's just a matter of time. Just like the way we're communicating right now. I mean, the device we're using to communicate. The person who thought about, Zoom, that maybe the first time he thought about it, maybe a couple years ago, he never knew it was going to be a platform where people can communicate all around the world, or the Facebook or Instagram, all these things we have once thought in people's mind. I mean, it goes to prove that if you have a thought or a picture, a concept, don't be moved or be discouraged by how will I make it happen? How will it happen? You know, the fear of failure is what stops you from even trying. You don't even go out as far to try that stuff to see how it's going to happen. So I was like, so this picture in my heart 10 years ago is now something I can hold in my hands and people can now assess it all around the world. I mean, it was a feeling beyond my understanding.
And they can learn those lessons. So that's where we'll wrap it up. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
The things people are going to take away from reading my book is that it's going to instill in you that power to know that you are the master of your own destiny. It doesn't matter what life throws at you. Doesn't matter how bad your past or what you're going through is, you can always accomplish whatever you set your mind to accomplish.
Boy, isn't that true? And that is a great sentiment because you are a living proof of that. And the book is Living Beyond Limitations Every Day. I already mentioned you can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it on Amazon, wherever great books are sold. Kennedy, thanks so much. I can't wait to see what happens next in your future.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm very excited. And thank you for this time, too.
You're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.